Fire is not always fire. We live in a time when people just think that, well, fire is just fire. I mean, if you think about fire, all fire will burn you. And if God required fire, then it really doesn't matter what kind of fire it is, doesn't matter where it came from, so long as fire was used. And another thing I appreciate about these meetings is I jotted down several sermon ideas. As these speakers mentioned things or other comments were made in the Bible classes, and write down, I've got several sermon ideas that I jotted down, and this is one of them, so I want to preach it while it's fresh on my mind. Fire is not fire. Taken from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And Brody did a very good job in reading that text when we learn that two priests, sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire. The King James Version says fire that was unauthorized by God. And as a result of that, they learned the hard way that when God specifies what He wants, we best be doing what God said. And yet we live in a world today who people, though they may have good intents, but our intents don't matter. So far as religious truth is concerned, it's what God says about it. But people, even though they may have very good intentions, will do things thinking, well, one is just as good as another. One way is just as good as another. And I've heard people, as I wrote down in the margin of my Bible from Leviticus chapter 2, that have said many times, where there is no law, there's liberty. In other words, if God did not specify a thou shalt not, then we're at liberty to do it. And really what that boils down to is just simply adding to what God said. That though God said this is what I want you to do, if God did not turn around and specifically condemn the doing of something else, then that something else is authorized. And that's not so. God had told them what to do. He had told them where fire was to be taken from Leviticus chapter 12. They had offered fire that was not authorized by God. Again, the King James Version calls it strange fire, but it's that which was unauthorized. Bernice shared with me before the class this morning that Strong's makes a comment that that is a verb, strange, from Leviticus 2, 1 and 2. From a Hebrew word that means anything outside the law of God. And that's exactly what they were guilty of doing. They did something that was outside of what God had specified to be done. And I think about Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. When the Lord would say to many on that day, on the great judgment day, who thought that what they did was right and wholesome and pleasing in the sight of God, they said, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and Thy name done many wonderful works, and Thy name have cast out devils? And He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that word iniquity in the King James Version comes from a Greek word that's a compound word. It's made up of two statements. And that is nomos in the Greek. And that means law. But it's got an author, we would say alpha, it's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, before it. And what that does is it negates, it means without law. And it's the same idea that you find in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. It doesn't matter what somebody does. Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in Thy name? They thought they were doing it by the Lord's authority. In fact, they were doing it in the Lord's authority, but they did not have His authority, though they might say, in Jesus' name. And there's people today that do a host of things. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, they say, over and over, in Jesus' name. In fact, just the other day, I don't comment or give a thumbs down. I mean, I don't have time to do that. But I watched this YouTube short of this fella who was a street evangelist, so-called, and talking to another man, he said, I want you to show this man that you're an angel standing beside him, to touch him on his left shoulder. He said, by the Spirit, in Jesus' name, touch him. And he asked the guy, did you feel anything? He said, oh yes, I feel something as though it's pressing from above me. It's foolishness. But people do it in Jesus' name. And that's what he's talking about in Matthew 7:21, doing things without the law of God, doing things without his authority. And the only way that I know if he authorizes something is by the scriptures. That's it. I have no idea to know what the Lord would authorize, except I go to the book of God to see, which is the Bible. So if it's not in the Bible, it's not authorized. And just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's authorized for me. Doesn't mean it's authorized for you. We've got as we've studied this week, and Brother Johnny taught a lesson on some very basic Bible study rules, you've got to consider the context. Who's he talking to, and why is he saying what he's saying? Lord, Lord, we're not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and still he would profess in them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, ye that work outside of my word. There's going to be a lot of people stand condemned come the judgment day because they did a host of things without divine authority. There's a lot of things you could put in a sermon when fire is not fire. But as this was stated earlier in the week, I jotted down several things and added a few more since then. And just give us some good things to think about. And the thinking of most today is it doesn't matter. For example, a lot of people say it doesn't matter because one church is as good as another. Now I want you to keep thinking through the sermon. Is fire as good as fire? One fire as good as another fire? Well, that's what people say today. One church is as good as another church. You can be saved in all churches, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Do you mean to tell me, if that's your thinking, and I know that the room is filled with people who do not think that, but there may be someone who does think that today, that one's just as good as another. Do you really believe that one church is as good as another, that all these churches that were established by men are as good as the church that Jesus died for, purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28. You really believe that? That churches of men are just as good as the church that Jesus said, I will build, Matthew 16:18. That one church is as good as another when Jesus is the one foundation of the New Testament church, 1 Corinthians 3:11. That any church will do when Jesus is ahead of his church, Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, all those passages talk about it. He's the Savior of the body, the head of the church. Purchased it with his own blood. Again, Acts 20 and in verse 28. The one that he adds the saved to, Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47. Do you really believe that one is as good as another? And folks today want to be a member of a church of which you never read about in the New Testament. Will that work? Is that just as good as a church you do read about in the New Testament? Fire is not fire. It makes a difference. And one church is just not as good as another church. Now that doesn't mean that folks are not, their souls are not important. It's not what we're saying. We're just simply saying we best get out of churches of men and get into the church of Christ that you do read about in the New Testament if we want to go to heaven. And we say that kindly but firmly. Well, time and opportunity is on our side. But also folks will say, well, one, music is just as good as another kind of music. Well, what did we do this morning? We had music. Sometimes people wrongfully accuse members of the Church of Christ. You folks don't believe in music. Well, what did we just do? We just spent a good amount of our time being led very well, very ably. Chris does a good job, very good job, and leading the singing this morning. You did a very good job in blending your voices together as we sing praise unto God. Now again, we're talking about doing things by the authority of Christ. Not without law, not without His authority, but by the authority of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father by Him. So we're talking about having authority for what we do. Not saying thou shalt not. If it's not there, then we're doing it without His authority. You see that point? Shake or not if you see that point. Do you think it's okay to do things that are not authorized in the Bible. Anybody? Don't be bashful. Well, then when you come to the New Testament then, which is the law that we live under, Galatians chapter 6 and then verse 2, the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, does he authorize the church to have music? Yes, he does. You got to qualify what kind of music does the Lord authorize? They had instrumental music in the Old Testament. They had both vocal and mechanical instrumental music in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 26. But my question is, when you come to the New Testament, what type of music did the Lord authorize? Was it mechanical instrumental music? Was it singing? Was it both? But two kinds. You were given 10 passages in the Bible class this week. 10 passages in the New Testament that authorize or talk about music. There's only 10 of them. And the first one is Matthew chapter 26 and then verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Mark chapter 16 or 14 rather, verse 26, when they had sung a hymn, they went out in the Mount of Olives. In Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In Romans 15:9, mentions singing. In the book of 1 Corinthians 14:15, singing. Ephesians 5:19, sing. Colossians 3 and then verse 16, sing. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and then verse 12, sing, I will sing in the midst of thy brethren. In the midst of thy brethren will I sing unto thee. Hebrews 13:15, sing. And then in the book of James chapter 5 and then verse 13, sing. That's the only passages in the New Testament that talk about music. And you read nothing about playing. Now someone could say, no, he didn't say not to. You're exactly right. You're making my point. When you say he did not say not to, you know what you're saying? You're saying that there's no authority for it. And you know what will happen to those who will hear come the judgment day who do things without his authority? You need to be familiar with that passage, Matthew 7, verse 23. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We best be doing what God says to do without addition, without subtraction. And so we sing this morning. And the reason we did is because that's what He authorized. See that point? One music is not as good as another. But then there are people today who say, well, one way is as good as another. Keep that in mind. Fire. One fire just as good as the other fire. It isn't fire, fire. I mean, it'd burn the offering just as it would anything else. One fire is just like any other fire. Not so. God specified what to use. God specified where to take it from. Again, Leviticus 10 and Leviticus 12. You wouldn't know that from Leviticus 10 if you didn't read Leviticus 12. But someone says, one way is as good as another. Thomas, you don't have a right to judge me. Don't judge me. My way's just as good as your way. Well, I suppose it is if we're talking about our own individual way. But our own individual way isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord's way. Do you really believe my way would be better than the Lord's way or equal to? Just as good. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. There is no other way but heaven's way. Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 through 9 talks about that. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And it was so important that he emphasized it and said, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. A curse means yielded up to the wrath of God. One way is not as good as another way. I want God's way. I want heaven's way. I want the Bible way. And not man's way. Don't you? But then as you think about when fire is not fire, folks say it doesn't matter what day you come together. You can just come together any day you want to and do anything that you want to do. You know, the church can meet together other than Sunday. And that's okay. But God specified what day to come together to worship Him.
Amen.
That's upon the first day of the week. And we talked about this week about the Lord's Day. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Revelation chapter 1. It's the Lord's Day because the Lord rose from the dead on the Lord's Day. You read about that in each of the accounts of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the day that the church was established, Acts chapter 2. You have to go back to Leviticus 16 to see that the day of Pentecost fell on the first day of the week. And it's the day that the New Testament church came together to break bread, Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7. No other day can we do the breaking of bread and the laying by in store. Now the other things you can do any day of the week you want to. You can preach the gospel, you can pray to God, and you can sing. But God specified the day that the collection is to be taken and the Lord's Supper is to be observed. We've got authority for that. Someone says, I believe you can do it Friday night. Well, where's your authority? Well, they're not going to go to the Bible and say, here's book, chapter, verse. There isn't one. But now they might say, well, I just think one day. Well, that's what we're talking about, one being good as another. Not so. God specified the day that we are to worship Him. Someone says, I believe it doesn't matter. And see, that's a problem many times. I believe. Now, what we believe is important. Don't miss the point. We've got to believe the truth. But what I believe does not establish religious truth. Right? It's what God says about it. For what saith the Scripture? Romans chapter 5 and in verse 4. Or Romans 4 rather than verse 3. Someone says, I believe that it doesn't matter when you want to be baptized, how you are baptized, whether it's immersion, sprinkling, or pouring. There are religious groups that will give you a choice. Did God give a choice? Every time that individuals were baptized in the New Testament, for the remission of their sins, we understand there's other baptisms. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about that. But they were immersed in water. From Acts 2 to Acts 19. It's a burial, and it's called a burial because you are plunged beneath into the water. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 12. Buried with Christ by baptism, wherein by faith with risen by the operation of God. That's why the Bible says in Acts 8, 36 and 37, He stopped the chariot, commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. He came up out of the water. And he went on his way rejoicing. Having been immersed, buried. I worked for four funeral homes over the years. And participated in a lot of burials. And there's not one time we lowered that casket down the ground to sprinkle some dirt on it and take off. But we buried it completely covered. That's why it's called a burial. We didn't pour water. We didn't sprinkle, or dirt rather, didn't sprinkle dirt. But we completely buried it. That casket, vault, whatever the case may have been. We need to think about that. By the way, does the Bible make a distinction between pour, dip, and sprinkle? As I was putting together a sermon, I thought about a passage over in the book of Leviticus. Now, I think it's an interesting passage in Leviticus 14, verses 15 and 16. And I highlighted this in my Bible just so I could show individuals when I'm studying with them, there's a difference between pouring, dipping, and sprinkling. I want you to look at that passage from Leviticus 14, verses 15 and 16. The priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. God was specific as to what he was to do and even what hand to pour it into. But notice what he says, pour it into his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. In those two verses, you got three words, pour, dip, and sprinkle. You know they're not the same. He was to pour the oil, dip, or immerse his finger into the oil, and then sprinkle it. You need that passage. If folks say there's no difference, they're going to have a problem with Leviticus 14, 15, and 16. See that point? When you are baptized, you are not poured. When you are baptized, you are not sprinkled. When you are baptized, you are dipped or immersed in water. But people today say, well, isn't one way to do it just as good as another? Not so. Fire is not fire. But then I think about when people say one arrangement is as good as another. One arrangement for the home is just as good as another. So, God created male and female, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. From the side of Adam, the Bible says, when God put Adam to sleep, he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, created the woman, and Adam said, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, Genesis 2, 21 through 25. And so important was that arrangement that the Lord made his plea back to it. Made an appeal back to it in Matthew 19 verses 1 through 9. That's the only pattern for the home. And one arrangement is not as good as another. And then people say one way to worship God is as good as another. God expects and demands that we worship Him. John 4, verses 23 and 24. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we think about what God is authorized to do we have Bible authority for everything that we have done this morning? If not, then we're doing it without law. We're doing it without His approval, without His word, without His authority. Well, when we think about our worship, well, we just sang a moment ago. And I gave you those 10 passages. Ephesians 5:19. So I know we've got authority for that. We have prayed unto God. And I know that the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and 10 verse 2 that we are to pray. Make our supplications be made known unto God. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and then verse 17. Well, we had the Lord's Supper. And I know that there's Bible authority to do that. The church did that in the New Testament, Acts chapter 20 and then verse 7. I know that a collection was taken up just a moment ago. And I know that there's Bible authority for that. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him his sword, as God has prospered. And here I am, preaching the gospel. Some might say you're rattling. I'm not rattling, I'm preaching. There's a difference. Acts 20, in verse 6, is our authority for preaching the gospel on the Lord's Day. It's also, as we mentioned, about the Lord's Supper. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That's all we've done this morning. That's it. Without addition, without subtraction. Someone visits with us and says, why do you all just do what you do? Why don't you do other things? Why don't you play a basketball game? Where's your authority? They're either going to do it with law or without law. And if God authorized it, guess what? Everybody better get busy doing it. Don't sit on the sidelines. That's why when he said, sing, every member better be singing. You don't sit on the sidelines while Chris does the singing for you. You see that point? It's not by a proxy, that means on behalf of another. The Mormon church practices baptism by proxy. They're baptized for others. That won't work. Just will not work. We don't worship God on behalf of another. Or serve God on behalf of another. Well, someone over in the holiness group says, oh, we were laid out in the spirit. We were running the pews and rolling around on the carpet. Where's your authority? That's a problem. Even on this day, there are a host of people, probably countless, no doubt known unto God, who are gathered together saying, we're doing it by the Lord's authority, and don't even have a scripture one to back up what they're doing. And we better be careful too, lest we go down that path and start to undertake to do things or leave off things that we ought to be doing and doing things that the Bible doesn't even mention. And you mark it down, there's a host of churches of Christ today that do things that you don't even read about in the Bible. But then, folks say, I think one standard is as good as another. And we've already talked about one way being as good as another. But the Bible is the standard. God's way is the way, but the only way that we can learn God's way is to pick up the book of books, the Bible. In Psalm 119:104, through thy precept I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You mean there's a false way? If every way was a right way, then how could there be false ways? There wouldn't be any false ways if every way was right. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God's way, God's word will do that, that we might be perfectly, completely, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto every good work. I hope that the lesson's been beneficial to you. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, those out in the world would tell you, well, just one way's as good as another. Come up to the altar and just pray until you pray through. Pray until you see the light. Tell that to Saul of Tarsus. Just come up here and fall down. Well, you know what? You don't even have to get out of your seat. Just everyone put your head down, and if you want to become a Christian, you just say, Lord, I accept you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I admit I'm a sinner. Come into my heart in Jesus' name. Now, if you did that, raise your hand. I was in a funeral one time where the preacher did that very thing. The very thing. And guess what? Guess how many people in the New Testament became a Christian by praying to the Lord? You got zero. No one. Fire's not fire. Well, preacher, if I can't become a Christian by praying to the Lord, if I can't become a Christian by having some experience that is better felt than told, if I cannot become a Christian by having some fuzzy feeling and the hairs on my neck stand up, then just tell me what I must do. What God said to do. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17. You can't believe except you hear. You can't have faith. We've got to have faith in order to be saved. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Believe it. Do you no good if you don't believe it? Jesus said you'll die in your sins if you don't believe that I'm He. John 8, verse 24. Turn from the ways of the world as you change your mind and turn unto God. Repentance. Without which will perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God He commanded it, Matthew 10:32, the eunuch did that very thing when he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:36 and 37. And then be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 and then verse 38. And when you do that, God will forgive you everything you've ever committed. All your sin will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. He'll add you to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. And you may be here this morning having done that in the past. You became a child of God, but you've not been faithful as you should. You've not been living as you should. You want to come back home. God wants you to come back home too, and we do too. And He's blessed you with a beautiful day to do that, a beautiful opportunity. You may never have another one. In fact, none of us deserve another opportunity. We don't deserve another gospel sermon to hear. Now God in His great mercy and long suffering and His compassion and love may give us one, but you may not have another one. In 1977, A.C. Grutter preached a meeting, and he said, this meeting may run on, but you may not run on. I may not run on. Why not obey? Before it's everlasting too late, you can come home, repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer. 1 John 1:9, we'll pray with you before you come right now.